John chapter 3. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 3. I'm so used to John. Genesis chapter 3. I was thinking of, as the children were singing, of where Jesus tells the Pharisees, "Haven't you read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? You have ordained praise." So, Genesis chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. If you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand, have the honor of the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' The woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die. For God does know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, he took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." To the Lord in prayer. Father, this is a very, very, very familiar passage of Scripture that I know that we have looked at many, many times before. But Father, the lies are so prevalent in our society today that we need to be reminded that they are lies. And Father, I'd ask that you would touch the wonderful women in our midst, and that you would help them to hear the voice of truth, to see through the lies, and to embrace what you have created them to be. I pray for the men, that they would see the lies as well, and that they would protect their wives, that they would protect and defend them, that they would speak truth to their daughters. Father, I pray for those that are grieving this Mother's Day, for your hand of comfort upon them. Most of all, Father, I pray for those that do not know you, that your Holy Spirit would draw them to you even this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've looked at this passage of Scripture many, many times before, but the truth in it is something that we cannot afford to ignore. So often in reading the Bible, we read and we read, but we don't ever actually pay attention to what we are reading. We skim over things and we think we know it because we've read it, but we never stop to meditate and to contemplate on these simple, straightforward reading of a text. This is one of those passages. And the reason we're looking at this morning is taking a break from the Gospel of John is because it is Mother's Day, and because one of the most lied to group of people in our society is women. And we want our church to be a place where women can have a sense of refuge from the lies of this world. The amount of pressure that is on women, especially young mothers today, is extraordinary. And we want to teach women to embrace what it means to be a woman and to be liberated and set free from the lies of the snake. So often when we begin to talk about the Bible and what the Bible says about women, people have this idea that the Bible presents this patriarchal culture where women are oppressed and women are like cattle and treated like property and women are mistreated and abused and all of those things. That's why we have to just simply read. Most of the objections people have to the teachings of God's Word can be easily corrected just by reading. Just reading. First, here at creation, if we go back to chapter 1, God makes, if you look down in verse 31, God has made everything of chapter 1, verse 31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Everything God made in creation was perfect, was good. In the Hebrew, this is good, good. They don't have a way of saying the best. They just said it's good, good, good. It's good. It's good. That's what God says when he looks at everything he made. If you go back just a couple verses, in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. What was it that was good? Male and female. God made masculinity. He made men. He made femininity. He made women. Many people have this idea that the distinction between male and female was a creation of the fall. It was brought about by sin entering into this world. Many people have that idea. And they go to Galatians 3 to say that Galatians 3 teaches that now through Jesus there is no difference between male and female. This is a very liberal teaching and liberal theology. I find it very ironic, by the way, that people who espouse Galatians 3, that there's no difference between men and women, are the very same people boycotting Target for letting men in the women's room. Why? Because they still affirm that there's a difference between men and women. Why? You see, it's a logical inconsistency. What I want you to see from the very beginning of this text is that being a woman is a good, God-glorifying thing if you were born and made a woman. It's good. Being female is not a curse for which you need gender reparative surgery. Being female is not a curse from which you must be liberated. Being female is a good, 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 good thing. It is very good. Okay? Being a woman is a good thing. And this is something that we have to teach our daughters. Because sometimes they're going to be lied to and taught that you need to be like the boys. No. God made you a girl. And that is a good thing. That is a God-glorifying thing. God looks at male and looks at female and says it is good. And Jesus says, haven't you read at the beginning that God made them male and female? If you were born male, then glorify God by being a man. If you were born female, then glorify God by being a woman. It is a good thing to be a woman. We have to get this because there's a lie that the Bible portrays women is less than human, is a curse. By the way, Galatians 3 is not trying to do away with gender distinctions or nationality distinctions or financial distinctions. The Apostle Paul was speaking out against a common saying among the Jews, where Jewish men would say, I praise God I was born a Jew, I praise God I was born free, and I praise God I was born a man. Because in their mind, to be born a Gentile was to be cursed by God. To be born a slave was to be cursed by God. And to be born a woman was to be cursed by God. And the Apostle Paul is saying, no. It is not through merit of birth, it is merit of the new birth. Being born again. And I want to begin there. Because we have to understand that sin enters in the passage that we read in Genesis 3. And sin, again, begins very specifically as a lie that is told to a woman. That's where we have to begin. So we begin here knowing that there is good female and good male. That is God's design. That is good. But we have to see, what was God's command? Don't eat the apple, right? Actually, the word apple is nowhere in there. What was the name of the tree? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is knowledge? Remember, we talked about this in John 10 several weeks ago. It's the idea of experiential, immersion, relational, intimate acquaintance with. It's the idea of driving a car for 300,000 miles and changing every single thing in it. You know it. It's like building a home with your own two hands. You know every board that was cut crooked. You know where you had to pull every nail. You know what's hiding behind the sheetrock. You know it. Okay? You've done it. That's the idea here. So if God made everything and it was good, good, it was very good, what has Eve always known? Good. She already has the knowledge of good. That's what she knows. All she knows is good. A close relationship with God, a close relationship with her husband. She knows pleasure. She knows joy. She knows happiness. She knows good. And what does God command her not to do? To know good and evil. What is evil? Evil's the privation or the lack of good. It's not just sin. Sin is evil, but not all evil is sin. Pain, suffering, death, disease, brokenness, broken marriages, broken families, broken children, broken people. You see, what God's command was to the woman was so that she would know only good and never experience evil. That was his command. You see, we live in a day where if I say a phrase, and you won't do it visibly, but this will grate you the wrong way, what the Bible says about women, it just kind of rubs you the wrong way, doesn't it? It just kind of gets under your skin. It just kind of irks you. Well, we're going to talk today about what the Bible says about women. Because what you have been taught is a lie. And that is that God hates women. And God wants to oppress women. And God wants to cause women evil. But what the Bible says about women is so that they would know only good and not experience evil. All of God's commands are for our good. All of God's commands are for our flourishing. All of God's commands are a fence to keep us back from evil. So often we see the railroad thing where it comes down across the road and there's a ding, 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 and the lights are flashing. What is that bar there for? To hold you back. From what? Getting run over by a train. What are God's commands? They're to keep you from shipwrecking your life. They're good. And yet we have believed the lie that God's commands are to keep you oppressed. To keep you in suffering and agony, in misery. And so what the Bible says about... do we really want to talk about that? Why can't we talk about God's goodness and God's love? That is the commandments of God. That is his goodness and his love. When you love a child, you tell them not to drink poison. When you love a child, you put a lock on the medicine cabinet. When you love a child, you put a gate in the front yard so they don't play in the road. When you love a child, you do everything to keep them back from that which would hurt them, harm them, and ultimately kill them. What was the command? The command, put bluntly, is, Eve, I don't want you to experience evil. And that's so oppressive, isn't it? Eve, I don't want you to know what it's like to watch your son kill your other son. I don't want you to know what that's like. I don't want you to know what it's like to bury a child. I want you to know what it's like to have pain and suffering. I don't want you to know what it's like to have brokenness between you and your husband. I don't want you to know what it's like to have family squabbles and family fights. I don't want you to know what it's like to have a fever, to be sick, to have the flu. I don't want you to experience that. I don't want you to know that and experience evil. That's God's command. That's it. That all he wants Eve is to experience is good. By the way, that is every single command in Scripture concerning men, women, children, government, everything, is to experience only good. And yet when we hear what the Bible says about women, we go, ugh. Oh. You know why? Because you've been lied to and you believed it. You believe the lie. Because the snake is still telling the woman, God is trying to hold you back. Isn't that what he tells Eve? Eve, God knows that if you eat the fruit, you will be better than you are right now. You will have more wisdom and more knowledge. In fact, you will be a God. That's what he tells the woman. It's a lie. But by the way, the subtle snake hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He is still telling women and men the exact same lie. But most often where he goes is the woman. And our society lies to women in the books they read, in what they read on the internet, in advertising, in magazine covers. It is lie after lie after lie. It is lies on the news, lies in the newspaper. It is lie after lie after lie. Many times it is lies from family members. Many times it's lies from the pulpit. Many times it's lies from church people. It is lie after lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And what it has resulted in is pain and suffering and brokenness for women. But most of them do not even see the connection between the lie and the evil. In fact, the serpent is so cunning, so subtle, so deceptive, that most women believe that the pain and suffering is caused by God trying to oppress them and hold them back. Notice what happens. The snake comes to the woman and says, God is holding you back. Throw off what God says. Throw off his commandments, and you will be liberated and free. That sounds pretty much like the past, 100 years in our culture? We got to defeat the patriarchy. We got to defeat the archaic, masculine caveman code that oppresses women. We got to throw it off, throw it off, throw it off. Guess what happened this past year? Guess what happened? It's one of the most rare things that ever happens. The life expectancy of white females declined for the first time in many, many, many years. You know why? The high rate of suicide. For some age groups among females, the rate of suicide tripled last year. Oh, because they're experiencing so much good from the feminism of our society. No. Look at the rising use of antidepressants among women. Look at the rising eating disorders among young ladies. The life expectancy of females is declining. You know why? Because of the side effects of drug use and alcohol abuse. Why? Because people are so happy they drink themselves silly. No. Because God is right. And his commands that he gave towards men and his commandments he gave towards women were for our good. And when you throw them off, all you will experience is a momentary pleasure followed by pain and suffering. Yes, you will have a season of pleasure. Yes, you will have a season of joy, but it is a momentary pleasure. It is a momentary pleasure that produces death. You see, the women in our culture are lied to. And I don't think men understand the pressure that is on our wives. I read an article about pastors, and a guy went around and interviewed. I found this very amusing. He went around and interviewed church members. And he asked them, what is the bare minimum you expect of your pastor? Bare minimum studying, bare minimum visiting the sick, bare minimum prayer, bare minimum, all of this. And he found out that the average church member expects the bare minimum out of their pastor is to work 114 hours a week. Bare minimum. Barely squeaking by. I'm here to tell you there's more pressure on my wife than there's on me. It's all lies. Just think of the lie of body image. The Bible speaks of a woman's beauty not being in her hair, not being in the number on a scale, not being in what she sees in the mirror, not being any of those things, not the jewelry or the latest trend or her dress size, but the beauty is a woman's soul. The inner woman of the heart. And yet what does our society cram down our wives and our daughters' throats? Things that aren't even real. Things that are photoshopped and made up on a computer. You don't understand what lies women are told. What is put in the news is the woman who had a baby yesterday and ran 5 miles today, and you are a complete horrible human being if you haven't lost all the baby weight in 2 weeks. And by the way, Losing all the baby weight means you have to be this size, not healthy. Not being healthy. It's not about a number. It's you got to be this. And if you're not, your husband will leave you. If not, your husband will trade you in for a younger model. It's a lie! It is a lie. Stop believing it. Stop believing it. Stop believing that you only exist to be objectified by men. Why? Why is it that women believe that their only value is sex? You won't find that in the Bible. Why is it that women are led to believe that if they don't look a certain way, that their own husband won't find them attractive? What happened to the beauty of the soul? Listen, there is a beauty that you can't Photoshop into someone's eyes. And that is a hidden woman of the heart. That is a hidden beauty of a meek and quiet spirit. Of a virtuous woman. And it's a lie. It is a lie that drives our young ladies to eating disorders. It is a lie that drives young mothers to cry when they stand on the scale, to cry when they look in the mirror, because they don't fit a lie. Your beauty is found in your likeness to your Savior. That is where your beauty is found. What the Bible says about women is you don't have to look like a Photoshop model to be beautiful. The lies. It is amazing to me the lies that are told in our society. And you know how you can tell a lie, by the way? Is you can take and you can reverse it. And if the same thing, if it's not true when you reverse it, you begin to tell a lie. Let me show you this. What would you say about, say, well, we won't name names, but if a man sacrificed his job so that his wife could have a career as a governor of a very large state and decided to stay home and support his wife's career and raise the kids, that is a noble, self-sacrificing thing to do, isn't it? Then why is it if a woman decides to stay home and sacrifice her career for the career of her husband, she's a fool? It's because it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. Why is it that we don't want our girls to be girly girls? We don't want our boys to be manly men? Why is it that our society celebrates a man dressing like a woman, but not a woman dressing like a woman? It's because the lie of the snake is still true. It's still there. And ladies have bought it. They have bought the lie that the only way to have joy is to be a man. You have to compete in the man's world. You have to compete in man's sports. You have to compete in a man's world of business. And you've got to be a man, be a man, be a man. I am woman, hear me roar. That's a lie. It's a lie. Well, I don't want to go back to that patriarchal culture in the Bible where women do only good. You don't want to go back to God's good design. You see, it's a lie. Let me ask you this. How come a woman who pursues a career in education and spends her life educating 10 or 15 young people is considered a hero? But if the woman educated the 10 or 15 that happened to be her own children in her own home, she's a complete loser who wasted her life. Can you explain that one to me? You can't, because it's a lie. It is a lie. And it's crammed down women's throats that you have to work some high-end job, and then you have to put in overtime, and then you have to have all the degrees, and then you have to do all the other things. You got to be involved in civic stuff. And then the lie of raising kids. Your children are never allowed to cry because babies don't cry. That's a lie. Babies cry. Okay? Babies spit up. Your home has to look like a Home and Garden magazine. No, your home's supposed to look lived in. You can have death or you can have life. You can have a stale, dead home where everything's in its right place. You find that as a commandment in Scripture, by the way. No, I seem to remember reading about how a woman who's fruitful, whose home is filled with children, That's the blessing of God in Psalm 127. That's the blessing of God. You see, so many of our wives, they're hurting because they spend all of their time trying to pursue the career, pursue the education, pursue the body image. You'd have to be in the gym 5 hours a day to look like that person. Oh, plus your other 10-hour day you have to work. Plus the 3 hours a day you have to cook gourmet meals. And all the stress on whether you buy organic and non-GMO and you gotta be a fun mom who lets you have sugar. But not too much sugar and you can't have red dye number two. And all of those things you gotta do. I remember, and most men won't even understand this, but I saw a pie chart. And it was a pie chart of why my children wear jackets to the grocery store. And there was this little sliver in 1% of the pie chart was because it's cold outside. The other 99% of the pie chart was because random strangers will judge me if my children don't have jackets on. How many of you moms can relate to that? But many times it's not even random strangers. It's family members. It's people in church. Listen. It's a lie. It is a lie. The lies that are told about children. They will ruin your marriage. No, they won't. Oh, you don't want to have kids right away. Why? Oh, you need to stop having kids. Why? Don't you know what causes that? Yeah, it's called love between a man and his wife. A man who's not obsessed with pornography, but actually sees the beauty of his wife's soul. That's what causes that. It's called the blessings of God. The reward of God the Father. Go read Psalm 127. It's not a lie. It's the truth. And yet women have been lied to. The pressure that is on women is extraordinary. The pressure on their children to behave a particular way, to do a particular thing, to dress a certain way. Boys can never have dirt on them. They're boys. They're going to be filthy and ruin everything you get them. That's what they're going to do. Embrace it. Why women suffer so much is because they're still believing the lie. What God has said in Scripture is for your good. God is not trying to oppress you and hold you back and make you miserable. God wants to liberate you to be a woman, and that is a good thing. To embrace the inner beauty, to embrace likeness to the Savior, to embrace all that He has commanded you to be. And I don't have to go over the commands because you have them yelled and screamed at you about how horrible the Bible is because God's trying to oppress and destroy you. No, don't listen to the snake. Men, we've got to protect our wives. You know, as a man, I don't pay much attention to women's stuff. But I can tell you this, the cover of every magazine lies to your wife and tells her she's not good enough and she is not beautiful. Okay? Every advertisement on TV, every ad on Facebook, everything on Pinterest and Facebook lies to your wife and tells her that she is not good enough. That no matter how little sleep she gets and no matter how hard she works, she doesn't measure up to some false, created by man standard. What did Dan read this morning? But a husband and children are supposed to call their mother blessed. We are supposed to rise up and encourage our wives, not to be what the world says they must be, but to be what God has created them to be. You're a woman. Be one. Quit trying to be with man. Quit trying to compete with men. Quit trying to compete with a photoshopped image that's not real. Be what God has created you to be. What the Bible says about women is good. And it is for your good. And it is for your flourishing. My intentions in preaching this morning is to enforce once again that our church be a place where women can escape the lies of this world. I know many of you have been lied to even in churches. You know, I know women who've told me that Proverbs 31 is one of their least favorite passages in Scripture because it's something that's beat over their head that they're not good enough once again. Because not only do you have to put in all that time at the gym and all that time at the office and all that time doing extra studies, but now you've got to put in all the time reading Bible studies too. Or you're not good enough. As opposed to liberating women, we have oppressed them. And it's time for you as a woman to embrace what God has created you to be. You're going to be lied to. Just recognize it for what it is. It's a lie. Men, you have to protect your wife. And the way you protect your wife is you tell her the truth. You tell her how beautiful she is. Not because of the dress she fits into, but because of her likeness to Christ. You tell her how much you appreciate everything that she does as a woman. You have to protect her. You have to protect your daughters. Don't you understand that your daughters are going to be faced with so many lies? Lies even from family members who mean well, yet will try to turn your daughter into a man. Why is it that when a male athlete decides he's a woman, our culture celebrates that? But when a woman decides she wants to be a woman, our culture looks at her with disdain. That is insanity. It is a lie. We must be a church that tells women the truth. We must be a refuge from the lies of this world because it's a constant barrage. And you women know about it far more than I do. If you're here and you've told those lies to women, you need to repent. And you need to apologize to them. So often, it is friends and family members that put undue pressure on young ladies to be something God never intended them to be. It is them who offer the most sharpening, stinging, hurtful criticisms. Because God forbid a woman would be a woman. How tragic. Listen, we must defeat the lies. If you're a woman, that's a good thing. Be a woman. Embrace all it is to be a woman. Embrace what God has commanded you to be. Because it's for your good. And when someone tells you that God is trying to hold you back, stick your fingers in your ear and run. Oh, the fruit's going to look good. But again, look at the rising use of antidepressants among women. The rising use of drugs. Alcohol abuse. You know why? Because when you throw off God's commands, you choose to know evil. And it sounds so good. Some of you here may not even be saved. It's because the devil has lied to you again and again and again. That to give your life to Christ is to throw it away. No, to throw away your life to follow Christ is to find it. You are created for so much more than what you are experiencing. You are created for goodness and joy and pleasure beyond the pain and misery that is your life. But it is only found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in being objectified by yet another man. It is not found in some career advancement. It's not found in some latest achievement. It is found in Jesus Christ. Would you repent and believe in Him? Would you believe the truth? Would you believe Jesus Christ and His love for you? Would you embrace the truth and throw down the lies?